What is your name and address?
Dorothy Carson, 14 George Street, Home.
When did the depression really begin?
Oh, I couldn't say, but I think it was around about 1937, somewhere around about there.
And how did you survive with the food? And
with the food? Well, our next door neighbours or our grandparents or somebody used to help us out. If we had cabbage, we'd give cabbage to somebody else, and if they had beans, they'd give us beans. Or potatoes, neighbours would come with perhaps a bucket of fruit. In those days there was no incidence of fruit fly, and the fruit was a lot better. Or if somebody had eggs and the other person didn't, well, they'd swap, and you might get a chicken given to you. Or but how did we survive? Well, my father only had he used to cut crops and for the pits, and he dragged them off the mountain with bullet ray, bullet team, and some used to have horse-drawn vehicles, but his was bullock wagon, and he'd sell the props to the pits if he could, when he could. But things were very bad. We had, I can remember my mother going home to her parents at Brunkable, and for a fortnight's holiday at Christmas, and she didn't have a tuppenny stamp to send a letter home to Dad to say that she'd arrived safely. And when we were children, we didn't get any. Oh, well, I'm young. I'm going back too far.
No, that's
all
right.
Well, anyhow, things were very bad, and I think that I was in my 20s, or yes, about 23, 24, before I got a job.
What was your job?
Working up at the between the house and the post office up at the local shop.
Mm. And what did you do there?
Well, sometimes I used to serve in the shop. Sometimes I'd go out and do the ironing, or I'd cook the meals. And did you want to know about how we survived with meals? Mm. Well, we used to have to cook almost everything. But one day a week, there used to be a pastry cook who would come round, and if you had money, you'd buy it off them. Mm. If you had no money, you wouldn't. But he used to have all lovely things to us, just old-time gingerbread, little bath buns with sugar and lemon peel on the top, and perhaps meat pies. And in those days, there was plenty of meat in them, apple pies. Mm. And as for mostly our parents cooked everything. We never went out to meals because we couldn't afford to go out to meals. Mm. I remember my mother used to have what they call a side oven. It used to be an iron box on that side of the stove, and on this side was the grate, and you would put the wood in the grate on the right hand side and shove it under the oven. Mm. When it was alight, and the heat would go right round the oven and across the top. And this side, you see, was on the side of the fire, and they used to cook beautiful meals in the fruit cakes, scones, roasts, you name it, they'd cook it. But mostly our food was more like the English food. It wasn't so much like they are today with the Chinese meals and the Italian meals and so forth. We used to more or less go by English recipes. Mm. The old traditional plum pudding and roast chickens and with onion and thyme seasoning and that type of thing. Mm. And then we'd have a lot of plain scones. Plain scones, fruit cakes and sponge sandwiches. And we used to have plenty of, not plenty, but we had our own eggs. We used to have a few fowls in the backyard. And then our father would get a little bit of honey out of the bush and grow our own vegetables, even with all his work, because they used to work then in those days when they could get it from morning till night. You know what it'd be like to go of a morning up onto the mountain, cut timber all day and then come home. He used to leave, sometimes he'd get up about 3:30 in the morning to get his breakfast, pack his lunch, or Mum used to pack his lunch, and get away by perhaps an hour and a half after he got out of bed, walk up on the mountain, or ride if he had a horse, but he got too poor in the end that he couldn't afford a horse, couldn't afford to keep it. And the bullocks used to be hand fed. He'd feed them on chaff and a little bit of oats. And by the time he got them fed, there wasn't much left to live on, you know, but still he had to have those to make anything at all. And times were so bad, there wasn't any dough for us, because we didn't work in the mines. Mostly it was the mines that got a little bit of handout. Well, I just don't know whether Dad didn't ask for it, but I know we didn't get any.
How much was he paid?
Well, I couldn't say, because it's that long ago, I can't remember that. But it wasn't much money. But he used to have to sell the timber to the pits, to sell the props to the pits. And I just can't remember how much they were paid. I never ever really knew much, but I know we didn't have much money for anything. I can remember we used to have to make our Sunday dress do perhaps 12 months. We didn't get a frock every now and again like they do now. When I was very young, I can remember I only had the one dress to go to Sunday school, and it was a sixpenny halfpenny crepe, sixpence halfpenny yard crepe, and it would only take about a couple of yards. But that's going back before the Depression. Anything else I can answer you?
Did you have the food tickets to use during the Depression?
Food tickets?
Like to go up to the shop and get the food you wanted with the tickets?
No, I don't think we did. I think I don't think my father ever got those. But we had food rationing in wartime. That's since the Depression.
Did your father have a job all through the Depression?
No. There was times we had no job. We just had to live on what we could grow or what we were given. I think when the Depression started, he had about £20 in the bank, and we had to eat that out about so many shillings at a time. And when that was gone, well, we just had to depend on what we could grow and what we were given, you know, by neighbours or relatives. I know my grandmother over at Brunkerville, they had a property and they used to grow quite a lot of vegetables, and perhaps every weekend or every fortnight they would come over with quite a lot of fruit and vegetables for us.
Did you live here all your life?
Yes, 72 years. Nearly 73, yes, in this house.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's another thing. My father built this house with what the timber he drew off the mountain. And in those days, that's going back about 1910, this house cost him £130.
a lot of money then, wasn't it?
That was a lot of money then. Because he was a fair age before he was married till he was in his 30s. Mm-hmm. Now.
When were you married?
Oh, 40 years ago.
Was that in the Depression or after the Depression?
No, it was after the Depression, in wartime.
During the Depression, what sort of medical treatment did you have?
We would only go to the local doctor if we had anything wrong with us.
Mm.
And I had a jarred hand, and he operated out on that up in the up in his surgery.
So he had a surgery up there, did he?
Yes, the same place as Dr. Holly is at now, practically. I think it was Dr. Emmons.
Mm. Was there any hospitals around?
Yes, there was Walls End Hospital. Was there where it is today, and it was a smaller version.
Mm.
Yes, well, there's no way closer than that. There used to be hospitals, little private hospitals for where the children were born.
Mm.
There used to be Mrs. Torrance's up on the hill, opposite the school now, I think, round about where Johnson's live.
Mm.
And there was one in Barnsley that I know, and then there was an old midwife used to live down the bottom end of Holmesville.
Mm.
In those days.
Mm. How did you do the washing?
Oh, easy, with kerosene tins. We used to have an open fire.
Mm.
You'd have perhaps a couple of bricks or rocks if you didn't have any bricks. Bricks, and there'd be iron bars across them. And you sit on two kerosene tins. Have you seen a kerosene tin?
Mm.
Well, they're a square tin about so high and about that square.
Yeah.
And they're only, as you know, made out of tin.
Mm.
And they'd be just about that big.
Mm.
And we'd put sheets and everything in those and boil them. We used to boil all our clothes. We didn't put them in the washing machine like they do today. We used to put them in... we'd rinse all the most of the dirt that we could put out of the big old iron tubs, you know, the old tubs.
Yeah.
You've seen those.
Yeah.
And miners' tubs, they call them. We'd rinse the worst of the stuff out of that. Then we'd put them in with soda, washing soda, and perhaps flaked up, cut up soap.
Mm.
And was washing soda or something else we used to put in? Well, washing soda was the main thing, I think.
Mm.
And we'd put them on, and the water would come to about that far off the top, and we'd boil them, the sheets, perhaps one at a time.
Mm.
And pillow slips, boil everything. In those days it was all white sheets. And we would boil them, and a lot of the towels were white. And they were beautiful and soft when I was washed that way.
Mm.
And then we'd rinse them a couple of times in water, and the water used to be from the tank. We didn't have any laid-on water.
Mm.
Laid-on water come later. And we'd have iron tanks and wash the clothes out, rinse the clothes out of that. And we made every drop of water useful. After we'd washed the clothes, rinsed the clothes out of it, that would go on our vegetable garden.
How long did it take to do the washing?
Oh, it would take you all day. Just about to do the... you'd be lucky to get it out by lunchtime. You'd start at perhaps daylight, you know, because if there was a family, a couple in the family, mostly in those days they had big families. A family of six and eight was just about the average, I'd say.
Mm.
Some had 13 and 14, but mostly it was around about anything between four and eight, we'll say.
Yeah.
Family, yeah.
How often did you do the washing?
Every Monday. It was a religion with the women. They used to all wash on a Monday. after they'd been to church and Sunday school on the Sunday, they'd wash on the Monday.
Mm. And when did you do the ironing?
Probably on the Tuesday if the washing got dry.
And how did you do it?
We had flat irons. I think the Mrs. Potts irons came in later. But the flat irons, there's one at the door. Just a minute. See that flat surface?
Yeah.
Well, we used to have an open fire.
Mm.
We'll say that's an open fire.
Right.
And we'd stand the iron up so in front of it until it got red hot.
Mm.
We'd have a cloth and we'd get all the dirt off it.
Mm.
And then you'd have your ironing cloth.
Yeah.
And you'd get all your dirt off it and you'd have a holder, a piece of rag to hold it with.
Mm.
And you'd just iron.
Was it hard work?
Too right, it was hard work. It was heavy, feel that. It's not feather like electric. And we used to, as soon as that one had cooled, it wouldn't take long, go back and get another one. You'd have about three and use them in succession. And in those days, they didn't have one petticoat, they'd have three or four probably.
Mm.
And they'd be white calico. And they would be, there'd be lace on them or something like that, you know. And they used to iron the old time petticoats with these flat irons and they'd never get a mark on them because they'd see that the iron was clean.
Yeah.
Right?
What sort of clothing did you have? What was it made out of?
Depression.
Was it made to last?
Yes, everything was made to last. The men used to have moleskin trousers and a lot of the women used to wear black aprons made out of, I think they called it Italian cloth. But do you want me to go back before the Depression with the clothing? Well, that was a frock that was mine when I was about 7 or 8, perhaps, or younger than that. And that was a very fine Jap silk.
Mm-hmm.
And homemade, but it had the Magar sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
And see the long, long bodice like the children have had not long ago?
Yeah.
And the little frill around the bottom.
Yeah.
You can see their little bottoms. And then in the Christmas puddings, they used to put little dolls like that.
Really?
That was what they call a pudding doll. And instead of putting money in, because they perhaps didn't have money, or they'd just buy these little trinkets, make them do year after year to put in the puddings for the children to coax the children to eat Christmas pudding, and they'd serve the Christmas pudding with custard. Of course, we didn't have any refrigerators, we didn't have any ice boxes. In around about the Depression time, I think the only thing that we had, because we were poor, was an old cooler that's shaped like a big round basin.
Mm.
Have you seen them?
Mm.
And you'd soak them in water and then put the butter in that to keep it cool, or you could set a jelly in it.
Mm.
And then another method was my grandma had a big a wooden box, about as wide as this, about 2 foot wide and about 1 foot 2 foot long and about 1 foot wide.
Mm.
And then she would get an old time biscuit tin, which is a square tin about 9 inches square with a lid that closed down on it.
Mm.
And she'd fill the box with sand, put the biscuit tin in the middle of the box of sand, and wet the sand each side of the tin, and then she put a wet bag over the top of the lot when she closed the lid, of course, and she put the butter and her butter and set jellies in that for Christmas time. But you could do that through the year too, you know. That was the only cooling system they had for years. And mostly, a lot of the old people had wells. A lot of these yards still have got old wells in them. You can see where they've been, or just they're still the tops of the old wells. And they used to lower the butter perhaps down the well in a bucket to keep it cool, or their jellies, just to set them. And the well water was cool. If they wanted a nice cool drink, they would get the get a bucket full out of the well.
Did you always have a big dinner on Christmas?
Always had a big dinner on Christmas. And you'd kill your own fowls, or ducks, whichever you had. And you would perhaps pluck them on Christmas Eve and cook them Christmas morning. And in the country, they'd have perhaps a quarter of a sucking pig, what they call a sucking pig. That would be pork to you.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have perhaps, a leg of fresh pork. And then for the rest of the week, you'd have salted meat. I know that you'd get your meat delivered perhaps twice a week, and then you would salt it down with coarse salt and saltpeter. They'd put it perhaps you've seen these old time earthenware jars. They'd be so about that high, and they would put it in, and they had a cork to put in the top of the jar, and they'd put the meat in and put it in a brine made of you put the salt and the saltpeter in with the fresh meat, and the blood out of the meat would blood in the meat would make a what they call a brine, and that would the meat would it would come out of the meat, and it would preserve the meat, and they'd turn that meat over every day. And perhaps for the rest of the week you'd have salt meat boiled with your vegetables, and it was lovely. So the salt in the vegetables, and they'd put the beans in a little bag, put them in a boiler, and hang them out over they'd have an open fire with a rail across, and they'd have hooks down and put the boiler onto the just above the fire and keep it boiling, and they'd boil their corn meat probably for a couple of hours, and in that boiling water with the meat, they would perhaps put a couple of apple dumplings or quince dumplings, or in our day it was a lemon and sugar pudding, or even a little plum pudding they could put, or just an ordinary plain dough pudding they'd make with they always made their pastry to go around their dumplings with dripping. There was never any margarine, it was only dripping and or butter, but mostly it was dripping because people were poor and they couldn't afford the butter. But I remember my father used to live over at Buchanan, and he said that he used to ride over from Buchanan to West Wallsend. That's Buchanan's over near Mulberry. He'd ride over the mountain at the weekend with 2 pounds of butter to sell it for 11 pence a pound. That's going back a few years. Oh, and when they had duck for Christmas, they didn't waste the feathers. They used to stuff pillows with the downy feathers, you know, the little soft feathers out of the off the duck. And they'd stuff their pillows with those. I've still got one somewhere here that's got feathers in it, because I found a feather there this morning. I think it might be this one. And they seep through the, see, they seep through the side of the cushions. Yeah. There you are. Feather. Just a little feather.
So they used everything during the Depression and made it.
My mother used to, well, they had every, I think every mother in those days had to sew a little bit. And they used to, for the little children, they used to have to make little suits and in the summertime out of the men's shirts. The men would wear their shirts out, well, they'd make the children little tops and little bloomers out of the men's shirts. And we used to get our flour in 25-pound bags and 50-pound bags, and the flour bags were just made out of perhaps a fine calico, and it'd be unbleached. Well, they used to line all the boys' trousers with those, or make little girls' pants out of them. And they'd eventually wash. You could get the markings, you know, the ink marks out that the bags were in. I've still got some of the bags around the house even now.
Yeah.
I had one in my hand this morning.
Yeah.
And their self-raising flour, they used to get in little bags just about that, about 2 to 5 pound bags. But the other plain flour, they used to get it in 25s to 50s. And they used to get their sugar bags, sugar in bags. I think there was about 160 pound in a bag of sugar, and they used to buy sugar bags, and they'd make sugar bag aprons or sugar bag hand towels, and they'd get a little piece of coloured material and put them round the outside of a sugar bag and make hand towels out of those. You wiped on those to make things heal, and that was for really hard wear. You know, dirty hands, men coming out of the pit or out of the bush. I think that we used to have a carpet, a runner through the hall. And in those days, if the doctor was coming or the minister was coming, you'd put the carpet down and all the rest of the week you'd have it up just to save your carpet. Yeah.
Do you remember Jack Lang?
A little bit, yes. I remember he opened the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Did you see the opening?
No. I've seen it on television since.
Yeah.
But wasn't there a chap by the name of Miss De Groot that cut the ribbon first?
Mm.
That's right. Yeah.
What did you think of Jack Lang?
Oh, I didn't know it to go much in for politics, but I think some people liked him, and I think some people didn't.
Mm.
It all depended on whether he was a Liberal or whether you were a Labor in those days, I think.
Yeah.
And as far as I can see, he was all right, if I remember rightly.
Mm.
He was a big man. I remember that, but I don't remember much about him personally, you know.
Yeah. Mm. Was there any shanty towns around Westfield then?
Shanty towns?
Little.
Yes, little. I know around Westfield's end. I think there was quite a few people had tin houses, but I don't remember too much of I didn't get out. I was a girl, so you know, it wasn't allowed. The girls weren't allowed too far from home. The boys got out in the bush more, but I think there was a few around Killingworth, and I think there was a few around Ladysmith.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. And midnight, there was quite a few around there.
Okay.
As far as I know, slab plot. Mostly they built their houses out of slabs. And the slabs used to be put upright. And then at the cracks of the slabs used to have perhaps a little bit of tin down, nailed down to keep the weathers out.
Yeah.
And a lot of those old slab places were made quite tidy because they used to whitewash them or mill white them. And then they'd on the windowsills they'd put a bit of brown trimming, brown paint, get a little bit, and they... the ones that had a little bit of money used to have a lot of old-fashioned beds, iron beds with the bed, white curtains at the back of the bed, iron frills and flounces and white drapes around the beds.
Were they very big, the houses?
In those days, not real big. I think they'd have a kitchen usually away from the house in the earlier days. See, there's one, that was our old kitchen out there, that shed.
Mm.
We use the shed now, but they had them because of the fire risk.
Mm.
See, with open fires, it was very easy for a house to catch on fire.
Did many catch on fire?
Oh, not as many as you'd think. I think that the people were in the main were very careful because they had to be, because they couldn't replace what they had, and they were very, very careful. But when you did your washing, you wouldn't do that inside. You'd do that outside in the yard, and so there was no fire hazard on washing day or ironing day. You'd walk outside to get your, mostly your irons around an open fire.
Mm-hmm. Did you have dances during the Depression?
Yes.
Did many people go to them?
They were quite well attended, I think, but they used to have old time fiddlers, and they used to violin, piano, and accordions, old time accordions, beautiful music. The first dances I can remember going to, I wasn't allowed to go till I was, I'd say, 23. Perhaps I didn't ask to go till I was 23. But my mother didn't believe in dancing. In those days, the older people didn't believe. A lot of the older people thought that it was wicked to go to dances.
Mm.
And but my father used to play for the dancers over at Buchanan.
Mm.
And he used to play a violin sometimes. Another time he would play the accordion. And he encouraged me to go dancing. He loved it. He learnt me how to waltz.
Mm.
And anyhow, the first dances I can remember going to was up in this hall up here, and that would be when I was about 23. That would be, I'd say, in the Depression years.
Mm.
And we used to have a penny dance. We used to belong to a Vigoro club,
mm-hmm.
and they'd run a dance to try and get funds for their Vigoro club, and it was a penny, and then it rose to sixpence. And we used to have pictures in this old hall up here, and they used to be run by a chap by the name of Scarlett, and he used to have a box above the door you go into, and shine the picture would be reflected on the screen, practically the same method as they have now, and you could hear the old projector or whatever it is, you could hear it all whirring all the time. And that was the first pictures I remember.
Were they silent pictures?
Yes. Yes, you used to have to read on them. And they were funny.
Yeah.
Really funny. And while the pictures were on, somebody would play the piano. And usually good pianists would play the piano while the pictures were going, and you had music while the pictures were going.
Was there any other employment around Westie?
There was the mines, and I think it was mostly the mines and around Westie.
Did they close down during the Depression?
I think there was some of them did. Doug would be able to answer that better than me. He knew more about the pits than I did. But some of them, I know Westie was still open because Dad used to, every now and again, he could sell a few props to Westie.
Was there anything for the women to do?
I don't remember any jobs going for women. Only they used to perhaps do washing for the hotels. There was quite a few hotels in Minmai. I think there was 9 or 10 or more hotels in Minmai. And then there were about, I can't really just remember how many, but 5 or 6 in Westie. And they used to employ barmaids. And a lot of the girls used to get in the tram and go into town if they could get a job. Sometimes you could get a job at the hospital, and I know one girl ran in the next street. She used to work at David Cohen's in Newcastle. That was a big warehouse for the groceries and things like that. And there would be for women. There was very little for women. Mostly it would be housework. No, not too many jobs for women around Westie. Or serving in the cooperative store, there was a few jobs there, or the local shops, yeah. But not much.
Did they stay open during the Depression, the shops?
I think there was a lot of them did. I think the cooperative store did. I just don't know. A lot of people went broke. But I can remember there used to be a blacksmith's shop halfway up Westie Hill, and there used to be we could look in and see the fire going and the chap making horseshoes, because in those days you didn't have motor cars, very few motor cars. I think the doctor, old Dr. Bean, was the first one that had a motor car, and he had a job to get round this corner with it. It was mostly that you could go straight. And I can remember the first old charabangs we used to have, they weren't buses like they are now, with the aisle down the middle and the seats on both sides. They used to have the seats right across the and the doors would open on each side of the big bus.
Yeah.
And the weathers would come in. There was the doors to hold you in, and then there was a space, and then there was the roof. So you've probably seen the photos of these old charabangs. And they'd have the seats crosswise. And I can remember one went over the bridge at one time, but that was when I was a child, I suppose about 10 or 12. That wasn't in the Depression, that was before the Depression. But for many, many years they had those old time buses before they got anything else. But we used to have the tram. We'd go through, you know, you can see this where it passes the high school now. And then there used to be the train would go this way to Newcastle, through Cockle Creek. Yeah, now.
Was that very dear to go?
Well, look, I can't remember, but I think it was, because I only remember going about twice a year at the most. Now, talking about fares, in this old bus to Westie, it was a penny from here to Westie. I can remember that because I thought to myself, I only went the once because we couldn't afford it. And I went to Barnsley School first, and then I had 12 months at Westy School. And my mother couldn't keep me at Westy School because things got too dear to keep me in shoe leather and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And in the Depression, I remember my brother had a push bike. He bought a cheap push bike, and he rode as far up as... one of the places he went to was Lismore.
Mm.
I remember that because I've still got a car that he sent me from Lismore. And looking for a job, and he couldn't get a job anywhere. But he said the farmers were good. They would give you perhaps enough food to see you to the next town.
Mm.
And then another time he walked from here to Newcastle and looked for a job. Mum was nearly frantic because she couldn't make out where he'd got to this day, and he walked into Newcastle looking for a job and couldn't get one. He just couldn't buy a job. And then the first job he got, he went to Sydney and sat for exams for a cleaner on the trams, and they, I think they had about 500 applicants for it. But he had just that little bit better, he was a little bit better read. He used to sit down and read most of his day. And he was a little bit better read, and he landed one of the jobs. Yeah.
Was religion really important during the Depression?
Yes, I think we were more, we always went to church and Sunday school. And we were brought up to it, more, as I said, more like the old English way of bringing us up, because our, I think nearly everyone used to go to Sunday school when they were young, and then when they got older, quite a lot of them stayed on and taught Sunday school. And I know I went till I was about 28. And we would go to church on a Sunday night, and that was a lot of our pleasure. We used to go for walks after church. We'd go along the top road, or we'd walk as far as Minmite, perhaps, on a Sunday night. Just good company in the summer nights. It'd be lovely.
Did you go every week?
Every week.
To church?
Yes. Yeah. My mother would see to that. Of course, not every mother worried about it, but... my mother did. Mm-hmm.
Were there many churches around Westy?
I think there was a few more than there is now. Although the Baptist's still there, isn't it? There was the Baptist. And then a young woman from West Walls Inn used to come down here and have Seventh-day Adventist Church. I think some call them the Mormon Church.
Mm-hmm.
And... she used to have that in the hall, and then there was the congregational in those days. It's the Uniting Church now, it's taken over. But it was the congregational church we used to go to, and that was up in St. Helen Street. And I think that was, I think that's about all that was in Harmful. I can't remember anymore.
Was the Salvation Army?
Oh, yes, in Westy. Yes,
really,
I think they might have had Sunday school at one time in Harmful Hall.
Were they important to people?
Salvation Army? Yes, I think they were always fairly strong, because when there was anybody in trouble, the Salvation Army would be there. And I think they all used to work, all the churches used to work together with the Salvation Army.
Mm.
They were welcome everywhere.
What sort of thing did they do for the people?
Well, if they were in trouble, they'd give them clothing or food, or they would scrounge around until they got something for everybody.
Mm.
And I know in wartime, Doug was saying that they supplied their paper to write home to their parents and encouraged them to do the right thing. You know, they were all there to help anybody in trouble anywhere. Mm-hmm.
Did you remember the Rothby riots?
Rothbury. Vaguely. I think there was one man killed. I don't know whether it was Rothbury or not.
Mm.
I'm not sure. Mm. No, I don't remember that. Doug would know more about that than me.
Mm. What effect did the depression have on Westy?
Oh, well, a lot of the, I wouldn't say it read altogether, there was some good came out of it because people were made to make do with what they had, and you had to mend everything. You didn't have to waste anything in the food line. You couldn't throw bread away like you do now. You would eat it,
mm-hmm.
or you'd make it into something. You used to make puddings out of the bread that was left over, or something to eat out of it. You didn't waste food like they do now.
Mm-hmm.
And overall, I think the depression. It was bad. It was bad while it lasted, but it gave people a good grounding in how to survive.
They just made do with what they had.
They'd make the old people's clothes down into clothes for the young people, and they'd cut one another's hair. They did it, and they'd go down and perhaps catch a few fish or get a few bee hives out of the bush. It learnt them to survive on next to nothing.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Was the schooling compulsory during the Depression?
Yes, I think it was always compulsory.
Did they have
and
to
it was a good thing. Mm-hmm.
Did they have to wear uniforms?
I don't think so. I think you could wear anything. I don't think people could have afforded to have got uniforms. Unless they went to special schools, they might have gone. I wouldn't know about going into town to high schools and that, but I know in round about the school in Barnsley, what I know about, and Westy don't you? To my knowledge, they never wore uniforms.
Yeah.
I think the uniforms have come in later.
Mm. What sort of things did they learn?
Oh, more emphasis was given to reading, writing and arithmetic.
Mm.
Particularly arithmetic and and English.
Mm.
Although I didn't get so much English, you know, in my day, but I only went till I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot I was lacking in English. But as for arithmetic, well, I was good in arithmetic, and I was good in spelling.